Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
You're a good, good Father. Lord, that is who you are. Lord, you are our great Redeemer. You have saved us, and you have the best for us. Lord, we pray that we might see that. The amazing Father that you are. Be with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, just a little feedback from Kubelup. It's going well, thank God. Pastor Nick is down at Kubelup this morning, and God has been gracious over Christmas period and over New Year. Services have been amazing. We're also on the series on Lessons from a Sheepdog. And it's going well. Next week is the most exciting part as we have a live pet farm. And kids will be able to feed the live animals, but more exciting, so will parents. Lessons from a sheepdog facing danger. We've read it in the Good News Translation, but I just want to read it in the King James Version. It just sounds so unique. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the New Testament, Jesus uses a number of illustrations to demonstrate what he's wanting to say. And there's a number of examples that he calls us. He says that we are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we are branches engrafted together. And we are like grain. And in John chapter 10, he describes us as sheep. And so, if you look at the Bible, there is no better picture of the shepherd and the sheep. He calls himself the Good Shepherd. And as we read the Bible, we begin to see the picture of a Good Shepherd and the relationship with the sheep. In Palestine, no flock ever grazed without a shepherd. The shepherd was always present, never off duty. And so, when the shepherd was there, he could watch the sheep. He could protect the sheep from wild animals and from wandering off and from thieves and robbers. No wonder it says in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, to rob, and to destroy. In John 10, that's the context. But Christ has come that we might have life and life more abundantly, or life to the full, complete life. That we might be whole, so he can give us the best. Most of us don't like to be called sheep. We'd rather be called lions with our boldness and high-flying eagles, or those that have the strength of an ox, not a sheep. Isaiah describes us as all we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. Isaiah knew that we were pretty rebellious. But can I say this? There are many benefits of understanding the reality of being sheep to the great shepherd. And I want to share some of those with you. The first one is the great sacrifice that Jesus made. The great sacrifice. He laid down his life for his sheep. We know that. It tells us that quite clearly four times in John chapter 10, that Jesus, the great shepherd, laid down his life for his sheep on the cross for your sins and for my sins. It wasn't a tragedy, as many people might say. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't a great example that we should follow after him. It wasn't because he was a martyr that he wanted to stand up for the truths he proclaimed. No, it was a sacrifice for you and for me. He gave his life for the sheep. Paul tells us in Romans 5, verses 6 to 8, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus died as a sacrifice. There's a story of a young boy who is sick, and he's told that one of his sheep have gone missing. And despite his sickness, he gets up and he goes after that one sheep. And they said to him, "Why did you do that?" He says, "Well, my intention is that I will endure the pain and suffering so I can save that one sheep." As we believe on him, there are amazing benefits because he sacrificed for our sins, that great shepherd of the sheep. Not only did he sacrifice, but he brought about salvation. He is our salvation. Bible says the purpose of his death is for our salvation. He's the gate. If we enter through him, we are saved. We are saved. And it's centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." You see, in the original it says, "I am the way." Ego imi, that means I am. It doesn't say the way, it says I am way, or thus. I am the path. I am truth. I, my person of who I am, is the one that brings about salvation. I am life, me as a person. He is the one that brings about salvation. He's saying by me, not through anything else, not through our own understanding, but through Jesus Christ. Now, those are pretty unpopular words because many will say all avenues lead to God. But Jesus says, "I'm the gate. It is the one you come through." And so he's our salvation if we believe in him. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're facing dangers, can I say to you that he is our salvation? He's not only our sacrifice and our salvation, he's also our shelter. You know that there was a sheep pen, and in Palestine, the sheep pen is not made out of wire or wood, but it's made out of rock, stone. And so the shepherd would lie down at the door to protect the sheep. And that's why Jesus says in John 10 that he is the gate. He is the door. He is the one that will lay down his life, that will protect his sheep, that will protect them and shelter them. In Matthew 11:28, we read that the good shepherd says, "Come unto me, all you who labor." That word there, kopao, means you are weary and tired and exhausted. "Come unto me," he says. Those of you who are heavy laden, that are carrying a heavy burden, that are loaded with burdens, what will he do? "I will give you rest. I will refresh you. I will keep you quiet in the palm of my hand, and I will keep you calm. Because I am the one who gives you shelter." There are many car advertisements that you see. And I read one a little while ago and saw it on television. They were advertising some of the old ads. And they were going through them. And it said, a Buick. Now, some of the younger people won't remember the Buick. And neither did I. But as I remembered... this ad, it said, a Buick, a sense of security, safety, peace of mind. Buy a Buick. Now, friends, not only will your money be taken away from you, but it certainly doesn't bring about security, safety, and peace of mind. Only Jesus does that, the true shelter. He's our sacrifice, our salvation, our shelter, but he is the one that brings sustenance. He offers us pasture and provision. He gives us nourishment and he sustains us. Psalm 23 verse 1, "We shall not want because he makes us lie down in deep pastures." That word "want" there, he will not fail us. He will not allow us to be decreased. He will sustain us if we come to him, because that's what he offers us. D.L. Moody said, there are a whole lot of sheep in God's fold, but not many are in his pasture. A lot of us are happy with kind of old grass. We're happy to nibble here and nibble there, when he actually tells us that there are amazing green pastures we can go to. As Mick said, we often go off on our own tangent and we pick up sticks and thorns and thistles. If we are spiritually hungry, we can come and be sustained by him. You see, if we're willing to follow him, he leads us to green pastures. The story of George Mueller, the man who built all the orphanages in the UK, and they said to him, how often do you read the Bible? Daily, weekly. He said, I've read it 67 times. 67 times. And it gets sweeter and sweeter all the time. Friends, the reality is that when we often open scripture, it tastes like dry Weet-Bix. But the more we read it, the sweeter and sweeter it gets. Make sure you register for the Cert 3 and the Cert 4. No pressure. If we're hungry, we need to learn to enter, because God sustains us. He is our great sustenance. And then finally, he is our security. God's wonderful assurance as Christ's sheep, an awesome benefit that he keeps us secure. He keeps us secure. Our security is not dependent on our age or our mental health or our physical health. It's our faith in Christ. It's our faith in Christ. You see, if he takes us down the ravine for water, it's not to abandon us. No, it's to sustain us and to be able to keep us there, because he is with us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he will not lead us into more than we can handle. He will not put pressure on us to break us, because he's the one that keeps us secure. In verse 4 of Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. That word means they breathe over me and they console me. He watches us. He keeps us secure. And if we put our faith and trust in him and have that relationship with him, we know that he will not lead us astray, but he will lead us onto paths of righteousness. You see, the good shepherd does not intend to harm the sheep. It's like somebody who runs headfirst into the wall. The shepherd does not do that to the sheep. The shepherd leads them to green pastures, and they know his voice. I remember being in Cyprus in July, and my aunt said to my uncle, go and check this one sheep. And she called it by name. And my uncle said, okay, because it was about to give birth. And they call each of their sheep by name, because they know their sheep personally. And so my uncle got up and went to go and look at that one particular sheep. And friends, we are not just a number in the kingdom of God. You and I are known by face and by name by the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. You see, in Africa, many of the African shepherds don't know how to count, but they know their sheep by face and by name. Because if one goes missing, they will miss the face and the name. He knows you and I that way. You see, as we are sustained by him, as we are kept by him, we are kept close to him. And he is our security. There's a story that one day a shepherd put on, a tourist put on the shepherd's outfit and went to lead the sheep. And the sheep would not follow that person with the shepherd's outfit. Why? Because they could not recognize his voice. You and I, sheep, not high-flying eagles, not lions, not strong as an ox, but sheep are able to feel secure in the hand of the shepherd. He sustains us. Friends, this thought is not a new thought. just want to end off by reading you this great God from Genesis to Revelation presents himself as one who is amazing and awesome God, that great shepherd of the sheep. You see, in Genesis, he's the seed of a woman, the one prophesied to be born of a virgin. He is the angel of the Lord who wrestled with Jacob. In Exodus, he's the burning bush, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the great high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet unto like Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's the deliverer from our enemies. In Job, he's the ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd, our shield, our rock, our fortress, our strength, and our song. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he is our deliverer from a life of futility. In Song of Solomon, he is our bridegroom, the lover of our soul. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the source of eternal life. In Jeremiah, he is the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he is the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the source of the river of life. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fiery furnace of life. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband. In Joel, he is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he is the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is the one mighty to save. In Jonah, he is the one risen from the place of death after 3 days and night. In Micah, he is the eternal one born of the babe of Bethlehem. In Nahum, he is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is the intercessor. In Zephaniah, he is our Savior who rejoices over us with singing and dancing. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain open to cleanse. And Malachi, he is the son of righteousness. In Matthew, he is the royal Messiah. In Mark, the wonder worker. In Luke, the son of man. In John, he is the son of God, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door of eternal life, the resurrection and the life, the true vine, the way, the truth and the life, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In Acts, he is the risen Lord building his church. In Romans, he is our justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he is our sanctifier and our victory over death. In Galatians, he is the redeemer from the curse. In Ephesians, he is the Christ of unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he is the God who supplies all our needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our soon coming king. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's our mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's our faithful pastor. Philemon, he's the friend. In Hebrews, he's the blood and everlasting covenant. In James, he's our great physician. 1 and 2 Peter, he's a chief shepherd, soon to appear as a bright morning star. 1 and 2, 3 John, he is love. In Jude, he is the Lord coming with tens of thousands of saints. And in Revelation, he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the conqueror of death. And hell declares, I am the living one, I was dead, but because I am alive forevermore. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Is he your shepherd? Is he my shepherd? The Lord is our shepherd. Praise his name.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.